invite you to turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 20, where we're going to continue God's 10 words for today. Just by a show of hands, how many of you grew up with one or more parents who were Christians? Raise your hand, please. Wow, just raise them back up and just take a look around there for a second, folks. Okay, you can put your hands down. Now, raise your hand if you grew up where you were saved and your parents were not Christians. Raise your hand. Okay, a handful of us. You know, when it comes to the fifth commandment, God's fifth word, there's not one that draws more affection, grief, or emotion out of us than this one. That is certainly the case for me. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12 just simply says, "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you." I was called into the ministry when I was about 17 years old. I immediately started getting involved in the church in which I was saved. I was thrust into leadership became the interim youth pastor soon after graduating from high school. The youth group had about 150 students in there. I was in way over my head. I read just about every John Maxwell book you could find before I actually read the Bible all the way through, unfortunately. And at the time when I was called into the ministry, my parents were not saved. They were not serving the Lord. And I remember the day where I felt like there was a very clear call to come to Central Bible College. My youth pastor had gone to CBC, and so when I asked him about schools to go into the ministry, I was only given one option. So in my mind, this school was painted as the West Point for ministry training. So I came to Springfield. And immediately when I walked on the campus, I knew that this was where God had me. So I went back to my home, and I decided that I was going to have that conversation with my parents, and where I was going to tell them that I felt a call into the ministry. Mind you, this was a very foreign concept. When I first got saved, my parents thought I joined a cult, because I stopped going out to parties after Friday night football games. I was a football player. I'd stopped dating certain girls, and a lot of my behavior changed. And I started like cleaning my room and being really nice to them and things like that. And they honestly thought I joined a cult. I remember when I broke up with one girlfriend, my dad, who never talked to me about relationships, came into my room one evening and said, "Son, is everything okay?" You know, I mean, he was like, "What has gotten into you?" And so I sat down with them, and I said, "I'd like to tell you about what I feel like I'm supposed to do. I feel a call to go into the ministry." Now, I'm very careful about what I'm about to tell you, because I do not want this to make my parents seem dishonorable in any way, because I don't believe they were, even though they weren't serving the Lord. But at the time, my dad took his finger and put it into my face and said, "If you want to be a poor man all your life, that's what you do." And he got up and he walked away, and my mom was sitting at the table crying. I mean, the picture was sort of like your worst fear come true when you tell your parents something that you feel like you want to be called to do. A few days later, we had a follow-up conversation where my parents had evidently agreed, but my father was speaking, and he said, "We will not support you unless you do what we want you to do for the next 2 years of your life." So there is some wonder here. I'm serving the Lord. I have a call on my life, and I feel like I was just given an ultimatum. And the ultimatum was, "We will support you and what you want to do if you do what we want you to do for the next 2 years, which was go to a state school with a pre-med degree." And I took about half a day to think about that. And I asked the Lord, again, I was kind of on my own here. I was searching the Bible, because as a very young Christian, it was instilled in me that God's will is His Word. So if you are needing an answer, go to His Word first. And I just kept thinking, what is the most basic thing I could read? And I went to the Ten Commandments. And I came upon commandment number 5 in verse 12, honor your father and mother. Honor them. So I asked myself, am I being asked to disown the Lord Jesus? No, I was not. Was I being told that my faith was worthless? No. Was I being challenged in my call? Yes, perhaps. But I felt as clear as ever that I was supposed to honor them by following what they asked me to do. I reasoned that if the Lord was in it, that 2 years of a pre-med degree wasn't going to sideline me. In fact, 2 years would maybe solidify in me what the call of God was on my life. When I was young, I did not speak fondly of this occasion in my life. But as I've grown, I have come to appreciate more and more what my parents were trying to do. In fact, I have now told them that I honor them for that, because they were just looking after me. They were being a good mom and dad. They didn't have the same faith frame of reference that you and I have today. And you know, my father-in-law at the time said, this is the greatest news I could ever have. And then my own father was saying, this is the most terrible thing I could have ever heard. So I went to 2 years of, I went to a school called Faulkner State College, and I was a pre-med student. And I trust me, there was not a chemistry class or an anatomy class that transferred to CBC, so I lost about a year there. But I did finish CBC in a total of 5 years with that training, because after that 2 years was over, I went back to my parents and I said, it's been 2 years. And you said if I did this, that there would that we could talk about this again. And my father and mother said, we stand by our word and we will support you. Now, I want to tell you, I know that there are a lot of complicated stories, and I can't promise my story is going to be your story, because you're one of God's originals. That moment was a catalyst for my parents coming to know the Lord. I believe it with all my heart, because my faith did not equal reckless decision-making on their part. It was a God moment for my family, because they're both serving the Lord now. They respect to the hill and back what I do. And I thank the Lord for it. And I'm telling you, it goes back to, you know, a kid that was 18 years old and hearing from God, feeling like I had a call on my life. I did have a call on my life. But yet balancing that between my parents needing to come to know the Lord, because when I got saved, I thought, I don't have a legacy of faith to pass on yet. But I felt like in my heart as a very young man that I was to be a bombshell for my family, to go off in terms of faith, that people on both sides of me, my children and then older than me, would come to faith. And I had the opportunity of leading my grandmother to the Lord before she passed away. I've had the opportunity of seeing my parents come to know the Lord. And my kids are serving the Lord today, at least best we can tell. So we wonder about the four-year-old sometimes. But I tell you, God's word, all of it, the Ten Commandments, it is a call for you to know Him. It's a call for others to know Him. It's not about rules. It's really about a relationship. And I want to encourage you tonight as we come to this, because I want to talk to you about honoring your father and your mother. And I realize many of you today here in this room, your parents may not be living any longer. But I want you to listen closely tonight, because I don't know that I've ever heard a message quite like this. We usually save these messages and this commandment for children's church and youth group, but I want to tell you it applies to you today, and I hope that you can see how. So tonight, what I'd like to do is offer you four reflections about honoring your parents from a biblical perspective. First of all, what is honor? What is honor? What is it? So I want to tell you two things. What is it? I want to answer that question. Then what it is not. First of all, children today and adults today are often counseled to blame their parents for struggles they have. Okay? What do you attribute that to? Okay, well, I blame my mom for that. I blame my dad for that. I blame them for such and such. But that is not the teaching of the Bible. And I like to tell people in pastoral counseling settings that you can look to your parents to help explain some things, but they should never be an excuse for a poor choice in your life. See, the Bible teaches that there are some people, those who represent God and His authority, beginning with your parents, who deserve honor because of the position they hold in your life. The Hebrew verb for honor here has the notion of laying a weight on or saying something weighty. Very simply, if I can just modernize it, it means that you ought to take these people seriously. You ought to take what they say and what they stand for and what they teach you seriously. The principle of honoring your parents means to respect those who represent God to you, beginning with your parents. In fact, today would be a wonderful day because it's not Mother's Day and it's not Father's Day. But if your parents are still alive, either one of them, today is a wonderful time, and I'll even give you an excuse to text in church. You should text them right now and say, Mom, I am in Sunday, or Dad, I am in Sunday night church, and I just want to say thank you, you know, because that's a big deal. Here's what it's not. It does not mean that you flatter them by denying emotional or physical pain they've caused you. It is not a denial of what they've done wrong as parents. That's not what honoring is. Honoring your parents does not mean that you endorse irresponsible behavior or sin. You see, whenever honoring your parents comes in conflict with your loyalty with God, you always side with God. I mean, that's what Jesus is teaching in the New Testament. We're not going to take time to go to those passages, but you can see that clearly there. The second reflection. You should view dishonor against your parents as serious as God does. This is an interesting passage of Scripture found in Deuteronomy chapter 21, verses 18 through 21. I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation. It says this: Suppose a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey his father or mother, even though they discipline him. When I first read this, I thought, finally, I've got a verse. Here we go. Verse 19, in such a case, the father and mother must take the son to the elders as they hold court at the town gate. The parents must say to the elders, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious and refuses to obey. He is a glutton and a drunkard. Then all the men of his town must stone him to death. In this way, you will purge this evil from among you, and all Israel will hear about it and be afraid. So there's obviously more than just a nuclear family dynamic going on here. You can pick up from the context that this has to do with national Israel. I mean, imagine a generation of children who disobeyed authority beginning with their parents. Can you imagine what that would do to a nation? Now, I'm not into standing up and saying what our nation necessarily needs to do. I mean, I'm just a pastor, but I do want to say this, because this is clear from the Bible. If we want to begin a new foundation in America, we ought to start it in the home with teaching our children to honor father and mother. Now, I know some atheists who, and I've heard from various teachers in the new atheism movement who actually use the fifth commandment as proof positive of why God is not real, or God is a liar, as they say, or God is not great, as the late Christopher Hitchens says. He said, we know that this is false because no one should ever be honored unless they deserve to be honored. But I want to be very clear here. That's not what this passage is saying. It's saying you honor father and mother because of the role that they have. Now, however, that is not to say parents should not act in a way that is honorable, okay? So we have to push back against the new atheism that's wanting to say this is why, you know, the faith isn't real, because look at how ridiculous this is. You don't actually honor somebody unless they are honorable. Well, that's not considering all of the Bible. I mean, all of the Bible, when you take the whole teaching, it's very clear that we ought to train up our children in the way that they should go, that we ought to not exasperate them, as Paul says in Ephesians chapter 1. I mean, we ought to train them up in a way where they want to serve the Lord. And sometimes we do great at that as parents and sometimes not so great, but that is the call of Scripture. So back to this passage here about disciplining. Now, this is a very rare occasion. It's the only time it happened like this, but it did happen. The point is this. Without getting into some funny stories because our time's limited, but the point is this. Do we take respecting authority as serious as this? Those persons in your life who represent God to you, how serious do you take them? Because one of the driving points of tonight's message is this notion that we teach what we know, but we reproduce who we are. So it's very important for all of us to understand that the way we treat authority now is being watched by a younger generation. And when you take all of this into one big account, now you're starting to develop what we call a legacy. This is how you develop a legacy. By treating those who honor and who deserve honor, and then who are honorable in our lives, who have the authority in our lives, we treat them with the respect that they're due. Now, disciplining has changed a lot over the course of my life. I don't know about yours, and I'm beginning to think maybe this only happened in Alabama. Please tell me if this happened to you too. But when I was in grade school, they didn't use belts; they used paddles. Wooden paddles. We had this one teacher who was our science teacher, and she spent so much time designing this paddle, and she left it right up at the front leaning against the chalkboard. And she had taken so much time, and it was carved out really nice. I mean, it was big, okay? Big. The handle had tennis tape wrapped on the on the handle to keep it from slipping. She had drilled holes into it, I guess for the aerodynamics or something. And she even went so far to name it the attitude adjuster. And if you outside these, we didn't have hallways, you just, you know, go out the door, you're outside. So we outside, and you'd line up, you'd hear these kids just, oh, and you'd go back in. Parents were never called anything. Can you imagine if that happened today? I mean, it would be all over the news. But I mean, this just happened. If you disrespected authority, teachers and everything, you didn't go to the principal's office. They handled it right there. And I'll just say that it has just changed a lot. A lot. But the fact is, and what I'm trying to challenge you with here tonight, is not a tactic. It's the heart. How much do we respect authority? You see, the Bible is full of accounts of sons and daughters who, as adults, either honored or dishonored their parents. Consider these handful of occasions. Lot's daughters deceived their father by getting him drunk, seducing him, and getting pregnant by him. These two daughters' children became two nations that were deadly enemies of Israel, the Moabites and the Ammonites. Jacob, in another account, plotted with his mother to deceive Isaac for Esau's blessings. Later, 11 of his sons dishonored Jacob by selling their brother Joseph into slavery. Samson dishonored his parents by marrying a Canaanite woman and ignoring their counsel. His choice was his demise. Absalom led a rebellion against his father, King David, competing with him for his throne. He eventually died as a young man without the blessing he could have received. Esther honored her surrogate father, Mordecai. In time, she became queen. Moses honored his father-in-law, Jethro, by taking his advice and delegating decisions. Do you remember that? David honored his father, Jesse, by being faithful to shepherd his father's flock. He ultimately became king. Ruth honored her mother-in-law, Naomi, and God blessed her with a husband, Boaz. As a result, she became part of the lineage of David and, of course, an ancestor to Christ. So my question to us tonight is, how serious do we take dishonoring the authority figures in our lives? The third reflection is this. Honoring your parents creates a lifeline to your legacy. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1 says this, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother." And parenthetically, "This is the first commandment with a promise," which is what I'm focusing in on, "that it go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." Paul says that this is the only command with a promise. Now, I want to be clear. This is not a promise that you're going to live forever. I remember when I first read this, and as a high school student, I thought, well, boy, there's the secret to a long life right there. So what is this talking about? You know, and the clue is in the context, which it always is. Live long in the land. You see, this occasion that this commandment was given, this was a new nation that was being, you know, this was a new covenant and some the ethics and moral behavior that was being given by God. And so they said, look, if you listen and follow this commandment, you're going to have a long life in the land. It has to do with them dwelling in the land. So this commandment is guaranteeing us, and what it's guaranteeing us is a society that respects this practice, respects this commandment and this principle, that it will have stability in the land, and that will be a legacy. You see, when we honor our parents, we create a lifeline to your legacy, our legacy, because your children will learn what real honor is by your example of honoring them. The point is built on what I said a few minutes ago. You teach what you know, but you'll reproduce what you are. I came upon a story that I thought was appropriate for tonight. It says this, "Once upon a time, there was a little old man. This little man was compelled to live with his son and his son's wife and their family. He blinked a lot, he trembled involuntarily, and when he would eat at the table, he could not barely put the food in his mouth. Finally, one day he was eating at the table and he spilled an unusual amount of food, and the daughter-in-law said, 'I can't stand this any longer. To eat every day like this is filth.' And she got up along with the little old man's son and gently but firmly put him in a corner. They seated him there and they put a bib on him and they gave him a bowl to eat out of and said, 'You eat over there.' One day while he was eating, he knocked over the bowl and it went onto the floor. The food exploded everywhere. And with this, the son and daughter-in-law said, 'We can't stand to eat like this, like pigs. We don't eat like pigs in this house.' And the daughter-in-law said, 'I have some right to happiness.' And so they went out and they made a wooden trough for him. They gave him a trough to eat out of and said, 'You're going to eat like a pig. You need to be served like a pig.' A couple of weeks went by and this couple was out in the backyard looking at their son, Billy, their young son, Billy, whom they loved. And Billy had a board and he was trying to build something. And the mother said, 'Billy, what are you doing?' Billy said, 'I'm building a trough so that when I grow up and get big, I'm going to have it to serve you and Daddy out of.'" The couple looked at each other, began to cry, embraced each other, and at supper time that night, they pulled the little old man back to the table, gave him his comfortable chair and the rightful utensils, and said, "You can spill all you want to. It doesn't make any difference to us. You're our dad." You know, we reproduce who we are. It's very important that we get this. Number four, I want to give some practical ways, four practical ways. There are a lot of them, and I've just been so enjoying this challenge of coming up with some of these. And I want to challenge all of us tonight with four ways to honor your parents. The first one is this: caring for them as they age. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 1 says this: "Do not rebuke an older man, but encourage him as you would a father. Younger men as brothers." The context here is Paul giving his son in the faith, Timothy, advice on leading, pastoring a church. This was one of my key texts when I was looking at intergenerational ministry and how it applies to leaders. It's a fantastic passage of scripture, and I just wanted you to know that context as you go into this tonight and listen to it. But some real wisdom here. Do not rebuke an older man, but encourage him as you would a father. Younger men as you would brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters in all purity. Honor widows. Interesting word choice, isn't it? Honor widows who are truly widows. But if a widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show godliness to their own household and to make some return to their parents, for this is pleasing in the sight of God. She who is truly a widow, left all alone, has set her hope on God and continues in supplications and prayers night and day. But she who is self-indulgent is dead even while she lives. Command these things as well, so that they may be without reproach. But if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Whew. Strong words from the Apostle Paul. If anyone does not provide for his own relatives, especially for his own family, he has disowned the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Strong words, but it flows from the fifth commandment. Taking care. Taking care of our parents as they age. I have watched many of you selflessly care for your parents as they have slipped from this life into eternity. And I hope I have told you along the way, great job. But if I haven't, I want to tell you tonight, that was the most godly thing you could do. Now, this is a complicated situation because sometimes preachers unintentionally lay guilt on people for doing things such as encouraging parents to go into a nursing facility or something like that. That is not my intention tonight, and I don't believe that is right. I don't believe that is right or appropriate. What I'm simply saying is, don't abandon them. I believe that would be the point of the scripture. Don't abandon them. For example, not contacting them or not calling them or staying in touch with them and seeing how they're doing, that would be disobeying God's word here. That's the opposite of honoring your family. But reaching out to them, caring for their needs, that's what we're talking about here. The second really important thing that applies to everyone in this room is this challenge. Write a tribute. Write a tribute. It's been probably over a year ago now. I began interviewing my parents and my grandmother, who's still alive, on my mom's side, a list of lessons that I've learned throughout my life with them. And I started compiling a short list of lessons in order to write a tribute that would be meaningful from me to them, because I wanted them to know some of the lessons that I've learned from them through the years. I asked them things about what made them work hard. My dad graduated from high school and never went to college. My mom has 2 earned master's degrees in English and literature, and she was the only one in her family to move away from the town in Alabama, much like I'm the only one in the family that has moved out of Alabama. my dad grew up in a single-parent home even back in the 30s, and so there's a lot to learn from them, a lot of wisdom. And so 2 of my favorites I'll just share with you tonight that they gave me. First of all was this: know what is important and what is not. I really liked them. And then this was one of my mom's favorites: make sure you laugh at your own jokes. Because sometimes no one else will. So we always laugh at our own jokes in my family. Write a tribute. Now, if your parents have passed away, this is an important thing, not just for you, but for what you can pass along. The third thing is this, something that applies to all of us. I just simply want you to remember that manners matter. Manners matter. Saying thank you and please, even around our church, opening doors for people, these things matter because I'm telling you, people are watching. And I know people are watching, especially ones that are under the age of 18. I've heard it from them. We see remarkable things in my time as youth pastor. I see remarkable resemblances of behavior between teenagers and their parents. You never know who's watching. Manners matter. And then the last thing I want to give you tonight before we close, we've had enough tonight. Take the initiative to improve the relationship. I have some good friends that are in what I call a standoff with their parents. The standoff is they won't call me, and I'm not calling them. My friend, if that is you tonight, I want to offer just this ministry challenge to you. In the standoff, take the initiative, honor your father and mother, and leave the results to God. You know, we leave the results with God. We say, Lord, I'm going to step out. I'm not condoning anything negative that they've done, but I'm going to acknowledge the sacrifices they've made. I'm going to acknowledge the good things they've done. I'm going to acknowledge the important lessons that I've learned, and I'm going to pay honor there. And you leave the results to God. So, tonight, wherever you are in this process, whether maybe you still find yourself in a grieving process after losing your folks. Maybe you find yourself in a standoff. Maybe your parents have done something in the past that you have just held on to for a long time. Tonight, my friend, I want to offer this place as a place of healing and restoration, place of release, where you can say, you know what? There's a lot to be thankful for. I mean, I've never seen so many hands go up with Christian parents. And I want to tell you, there's a lot to be, don't you have a lot to be thankful for? You know, you are here today most likely because of the imprint they left on your life. There's a lot to be thankful for. So the challenge is, how are you making that a lifeline to the next generation, to your kids, to your children's children? And as they say, I love one of the leadership sayings they have in South Korea, and some of our friends down there, they passed on this. I was doing an interview with them. One of the proverbs they say, pastors like to say over there, is our eyes are on our successor's successor. Nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. We have to have our eyes forward to the next generation, building that lifeline to the legacy of honoring our parents, and they will honor you. That's our prayer tonight. That's my prayer for you, that you would embrace this principle, because it's really a beautiful one. It's one that can reach your family. It's one that can honor the church and build the church and create a lasting legacy that lasts beyond you. And that's what it's all about. Lord, we come to you this evening and we thank you for your word to us, Lord. What would we do without your word? Oh, Lord, it is revelation and life to us. And we just take a moment, Lord, to respond. We take a moment to honor you, Lord, in our lives. To pay honor to those that have poured into us. Where would we be, Lord, if we weren't standing on the shoulders of some giants, some men and women of faith in our own lives, who've given us opportunities when we didn't deserve it, who've poured into us when we weren't ready for it. And Lord, by your grace, you've helped us. And we pray, oh Lord, now by your grace, that our eyes would be on our children's children. Lord, that you would help us create a lifeline to our legacy, by honoring those who've come before us, honoring those around us, and building a legacy that'll last beyond us. We give you our hearts, all of our energy and strength, O Lord. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. If you'd like to come and find a place of prayer tonight, especially if you need some time just to release something or get something from the Lord, I pray that you would come and receive the ministry of the Holy Spirit tonight.